Good morning. So glad to be here with you this morning, and it's an honor to be at this college. I love this college because I know Dr. Ron Comfort, the founder of this college. He has a great impact in my personal life. He came to Australia in 2011, and he spoke in our Bible conference, which we have about 2,000-3,000 people coming to that conference every year. So he spoke in a conference. He was keynote speaker, and I surrendered my life for full-time ministry under his preaching. So I'm the fruit of this college, I could say. So the Lord has blessed this college and Dr. Comfort and his ministry, and I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed to serve the Lord, and because of the preaching, because of the power of the gospel and the word of God. So my name is Michael Germi, and I was born in Iran as a Muslim in a Shia family. But I'm going to share my testimony, but I'm going to read a few verses from the Gospel of John. If you turn with me to the famous passage in Gospel of John chapter 3, where Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and he asked him about salvation and how he could be sure of going to heaven, I could say. And Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then he said, "How can I be born again in this age? Can I enter into my mother's womb and be born again in this age?" And Jesus said, "I'm not talking about physical birth. That which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit." So he said, "I'm talking about spiritual birth. You must be born again." And he said, "How can I? Explain that to me." And Jesus took him further, and he explained to him what is being born again. In verse 14, let's be upstanding as we read from verse 14 through verse 18. Let's read it together, please. Verse 14 through verse 18, he told Nicodemus how he could be sure of going to heaven. Verse 14, let's read it together, please. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning with thanksgiving. Lord, we rejoice in that new birth that you've given us through Jesus Christ our Lord, not through our good works or religion. Lord, we thank you that you made it so simple for us to receive that gift, the gift of eternal life through Jesus. Lord, we rejoice in that, but also, Lord, we pray that you would challenge us and help us to get that simple message to all people, because everywhere people need the gospel. Lord, help us to have a passion about the gospel, to get it out, to reach this lost people around the world. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and challenge us, and Lord, encourage us. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So Jesus explained to him that you must be born again. New birth is missing in many religions. They don't preach new birth. They just try to please God in the flesh by keeping the laws and being religious and holier than thou, and they try to put on new religious garments and the clothing and everything so that they can look religious. But Jesus said, "You must. This is must. You must be born again." And I grew up in a Shia family, Shia Muslim, and I never heard anything about new birth. All we do is religion, practicing Sharia law. Sharia law is Islamic law that we have to keep in order to have hope of eternal life. But we never have hope in Islam. We just say, inshallah. Inshallah means, Allah willing, I'm going to go to heaven. So I remember as a child, about 6 years old, I was 6, 7 years old, I remember my grandma, she wanted to teach me to be a good Muslim. She wanted to train me. So she said to me, she wanted to scare me so I can practice Islam. She said, when you die, you might go to hell. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. What is hell? And she said, hell is a place of punishment, hellfire. And I said, I don't want to go to hell to be burned. Is there any better place to be? And she said, yes, there is heaven. Heaven is a beautiful place where God is and angels and all the good people, good Muslims go to heaven. I said, okay, I want to go to heaven. Can I go to heaven? And she said, yes, there is a bridge, but there's a bridge made of one thin hair, and you have to cross that bridge, walk on that bridge, cross that bridge, and make your way into heaven. And underneath this bridge, there is hellfire, fire burning. And I said, how is that possible? How can I walk on a bridge made of one thin hair? This is impossible. I'm scared. I might fall into hell and to be burned. And she said, well, if you pray 5 times a day toward Mecca and practice Islam, keep Sharia law and be a good Muslim, you'll be able to cross that bridge. I said, okay, I want to get saved from hell. I don't want to go to hell. Can you teach me to pray so I can get saved from hell? She said, yes. So she said, face toward Mecca and pray like this. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki, Yawmiddin, and so on. I said, I don't understand what you're saying. What language is that? And she said, that's Arabic. I said, well, I speak in Persian. I don't understand Arabic. How can I pray in a language that I don't understand? But she said, well, that's the only language that you have to pray. You have to pray in Arabic. If you pray in Persian, it's going to be rejected. I said, okay, can you teach me one word at a time so I can memorize this verse? So she did, and I memorized these verses from the Quran. And so I stood before Allah facing toward Mecca, so I prayed 5 times a day. So Allah only speaks in Arabic. He doesn't understand English or Persian language. And he's not everywhere. He's not omnipresent. He's only in Mecca. He's limited to one place, and he doesn't know everything. He doesn't know English, or he's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent like our God. But anyway, so I prayed. But as I was committing sin as a child, you know, I was failing, you know, stealing candies and other stuff that I was committing, you know, sins. I was feeling guilty. I was always scared of going to hell. I remember my grandmom telling me about hell, and I was scared of going to that place of punishment, burning hell. I said, Grandmom, I'm so scared. I was feeling guilty. So I prayed. I tried to cover it up to somehow to have peace, but the prayer didn't give me peace. I practiced Islam. Islam religion didn't give me peace. I was just living with fear of going to hell all my life. Most Muslims do that. They live, they practice Islam not to to have relationship with Allah, not to love Allah, to please Him, but because of fear of going to hell, they do it. As a Muslim, you never feel that you have a relationship with your God, Allah. You don't love Him. No Muslims love Allah. Allah is not lovable God. So I tried to cover up, and the religion didn't give me peace. And slowly as I was growing up, and by the way, when I committed sin, I was feeling guilty. You know, I wasn't saved. I didn't know the Bible, and I didn't know God's word. So, but as a sinner, when I committed sin, I knew that it was sin. God has given us inner witness called consciousness. So we know what is good and what is evil. And most people, you might be challenged by this question. What about those people living in jungle? They never have the Bible. They never heard anything about Jesus Christ, so it shouldn't be the only way. Jesus is not the only way. There has to be many ways to heaven. No. If you follow that light that God has given you already, which is consciousness, and also creation, another light that God has already given us, the heavens declare the glory of God. And so God has given us already two lights. So if you follow those two lights that God has already given you, God is going to give you more lights. And more lot. He's going to get you a Bible. He's going to send a soul winner in your way, and he's going to lead you across. You'll get saved. But if you don't follow that light, most people, they reject it. They're not thankful. They knew God, but they glorify him not as God. So most people do not seek after God. That's why they don't get saved. But if you seek God, God will save you. So I grew up slowly, and in my teenager time, you know, I started to think, and I asked myself question that why should I pray in Arabic? Doesn't God understand Persian? So that was the beginning of questioning my faith, and, you know, why should I pray in Arabic language and everything? And we had to do self-harming, and in Islam, we do self-harming to please Allah, and we keep Sharia law and everything. So we have to pray 5 times a day. You get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I remember I grew up in north of Iran, which is on the border of Azerbaijan, which is southern Russia, very cold area. So we didn't have hot water when I was a child. So we had to, as a Muslim, we have to purify our bodies and wash feet and head and our hands to be purified before praying. So I had to go to the yard in a fountain that we had in the yard. In winter, we had this much snow. So I had to get that frozen ice water to wash my body. At 4 o'clock in the morning, I had to get up sleepy and so tired. And I had to wash my body with that cold, freezing water. I almost cursed Allah for torturing me in the morning, 4 o'clock, waking you up, get up and pray by force. So this is religion. It gives you burden. But Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He gives us rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His burden is so light. His burden is just love. He said, love one another. This is his burden that he's given us, which is great. Love is everything that people love. God, people love love. They need to be loved. So anyway, in 2006, I got a visa to go to Australia. So I got my visa, went home. I said to my family, I said, I've got a visa and I'm going to Australia. And they were so sad. And so my mom put a copy of Quran in a tray along with a bowl of water. She said, kiss this Quran and go underneath it 3 times so this Quran can protect you. I did that. And she poured a bowl of water on the ground as a symbol of health, so I can stay healthy. So I did, and I left my country and went to Sydney, Australia in 2006. And I knew a person there, a friend of mine who was from my hometown, and I wanted to get some help. I wanted to ask him to show me how to get a job and how to find a place to live. So I went there, and he took me to an apartment in a unit that 5 Persians were living. So I went there, and I noticed that one of these 5 Persians converted from Islam to Christianity. And in my mind, I said, no, this is not going to work. I can't live in here. Because I was told that Christians are filthy and ungodly people because of the Hollywood movie that we watch, and we see all the fornications and uncleanness that we see on the movie, and we think that these Americans are Christians. They represent Christianity. That means Christianity is a religion of filth and ungodliness, and they're filthy people. They are immoral. They sleep around with other women, and they have no moral. So I said to them, look, thank you for offering me your place, but I can't stay here. So I left the place because religiously that home, that apartment was unclean. So I left the place, went somewhere else, and found a job, and I worked so hard in Australia, and I loved living in Australia because of freedom that we have. In Iran, we have no freedom, no freedom of speech, no freedom of religion, and they control your life. When Ayatollah came to our country in 1979, before that, we were free. We had wealth and prosperity, and we had everything. But Islam, he brought Islam, radical Islam, and he destroyed our country. We lost freedom. And he oppresses people, and he tells us to be only Muslim. If you convert, they'll kill you. I've seen a lot of Christians being killed in Iran. A lot of people who do, you commit sin, any kinds of sin. Like, if you commit fornication in our country, they'll stone you to death. So many punishments I've seen with my eyes as a child. And so I wanted to stay in Australia because it was free. I saw that this is different. This is beautiful country. I looked back, living in Australia, I looked back my country in Iran. I saw all the troubles you see, it's like desert and hot. There's no life, and Afghanistan, Iran, and Syria and Egypt. It's like terrible, cursed place. There is no life. People kill each other all the time. There's always wars going on, battle. But I said to myself, these people, these Australians, they infidels, and they don't know God. We know God. We know Allah, but they don't know God. But sounds like their God has prospered them. Their God, you know, they go to church, and their country, they're free and beautiful country, and God has blessed them already, abundance of food that they have and everything. Maybe their God is a real God. Maybe Allah is not the true God. So I was questioning Islam slowly. That was like progressive, and slowly I was questioning Islam. So I, after 3 years living in Australia, just loved freedom and everything. I wanted to stay in Australia, but I wasn't able to extend my visa or to get another visa. And I was working a part-time job in a restaurant, and there was a Persian man, and he was working there, but he was a Christian. He said to me, he said, Michael, if you want to stay in Australia, I'll be able to help you. And I said, how can you help me, an infidel? So I was like arguing with him. I said, I don't need your help. But he said, if you come to our church and convert to Christianity, you'll be able to apply for a protection visa and stay in Australia. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, if you convert to Christianity, you'll be called an infidel according to Islam. And they'll kill you. If you go back to Iran, they'll kill you. But Australian government will give you protection visa. That means you can stay here permanently. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm a Muslim. So I don't want to be an infidel like you. I ignore them. Still, I consider myself as a Muslim. But after a few days passed by, and I noticed that the time is drawing nigh, and I have to do something. I didn't want to go back to Iran to be under oppression of Islam, this Islamic government. And I remember my father telling me that if you miss a prayer or fasting, you have to pray and fast 60 times more to make it up. So in three years living in Australia, I didn't pray. And last 2 years in Iran, I was applying for a visa, so I was so busy that I didn't pray. So 5 years, I didn't pray. So I got my calculator out and put 5 years times 60, and I realized that I had to pray and fast for next 300 years to make it up. So I realized that I'm lost. There is no hope. I'm going to hell. So what's the point of claiming to be a Muslim without practicing? So I called my friend. I said, look, I'm going to come to church with you. And he was so excited. So we got in the car, driving to church. First time in my life, that was in 2009, I was going to church. I never seen in a church before, never seen a Bible in my life. So I was nervous first time going to church, because in Islam, you need to know how to pray. You need to know the verses, and we repeat the same verse over and over in Islam. But you need to know the verse to be able to pray. It's not like church. You come and you sit there and somebody leads you in prayer. At the end, you say amen. But it's in Islam, you don't do that. You need to pray individually and you need to know the prayer. So I said to myself, hold on, I don't know how to pray. How am I going to pray? Do they pray in Persian or in Arabic or in English? And do I have to face toward Mecca or towards Jerusalem or towards America to pray? So I was still confused and nervous, but I said, oh, well, let's see what happens. And so I went there, walked through the door, and in my mind, Christians were filthy, ungodly, they have no moral. But these people came to me one after another saying, thank you for visiting us and welcome to our church and good to have you. And I said to myself, these people meant to be filthy, ungodly people. At least sounds like they are good, filthy people. They're so friendly and kind people. And I noticed that they were singing. They had music and they were praising God, rejoicing. And in my heart, I said, wow, this is good. They pray like in their own language and they're happy. But I noticed that they were praying to Jesus. They called Jesus God. I said, what is wrong with these people? They're blaspheming against God. Why don't they pray to to God, to Allah. They pray to a man like Jesus, who is a prophet. But in my heart, I say, this is good. They like pouring out their hearts to God, and they pray in their own language, and they're genuine. This is good, and I loved it. So they gave me a copy of the Bible. They said, take this Bible and read from New Testament, from Gospel of Matthew, so you can get to know Jesus Christ better. I said, sure. So I took it home, and I started from the Gospel of Matthew. And the beginning was really boring. He said, this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah, and Judah begat. I said, what is this book, begat? So what? But I kept reading it, and chapter 2, 3, 4, and it was getting interesting. And chapter 5, 6, 7, I said, wow, this is so different. You know, Jesus said, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That makes sense to me, because in Islam, we had to love our neighbors, our fellow Muslims, and hate our enemies and cut their heads off and kill them. That's what Quran commands us, to kill, to cut the heads of unbelievers. Unbelievers means non-Muslims. And if you're a true believer, if you're a true Muslim, you have to cut the heads of unbelievers. But very few Muslims practice that, like ISIS. But most Muslims do not practice Quran. Why? Because most Muslims do not know Arabic. They read the Quran in Arabic language, but they don't understand it. They just learn how to read it. And if you read the Quran in English, you don't get rewards for it. So you are commanded to read it only in Arabic, because that's the language of heaven. Allah speaks in heaven, so he doesn't understand English. You don't get reward if you read it in English, you don't get reward. So most Muslims read Quran in Arabic without understanding it. That's why they are good people. Why? Because they don't understand it. And I'm glad that they don't understand it. If all Muslims practice Quran, I promise you that you wouldn't have been here right now. They would come and kill you and cut your heads off. So because God has given them consciousness, they know killing is wrong. So they live according to consciousness that God has given them. Thank God for it. So, but Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And I said, wow, this is so different. I have never read anything like this before in my life. Love your enemies? If you read Quran cover to cover, you won't find the word love. Love is not mentioned in the Quran at all. But I kept reading the New Testament. He said, love your enemies. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We love him because he first loved us. He that loveth us not knows not God, for God is love. God is love. I realize that God of the Bible is God of love. He loves me. For God so loved the world, that means me. He loves a Muslim like me. I said, wow, God of the Bible loves me. I never read that in the Quran, that Allah loves me. He never loved me. So I loved the New Testament. I finished the New Testament. I said, this is a good book. I'm going to start from the beginning. So I opened the book of Genesis to Malachi. I finished entire Bible in a month time. In less than a month, I finished entire Bible, because it was just reading me. It was speaking to me. I felt that somebody is speaking to me. I spent hours and hours a day to read this book. But I needed somebody to guide me, to tell me what I needed. There is something that I need desperately. There is something in this book. The church that I went to, it wasn't a Baptist church. It was an Anglican Church of England. So they were praising God and singing and rejoicing, but the gospel was not there. I never heard new birth. New birth is not preached in churches, most churches. Even some Baptist churches don't preach it. Why? Because they're not born again. If you are born again, you're going to preach the new birth. You will. So they never preached the gospel, and I was still lost. After reading the Bible and going there a few months, I had faith in Jesus Christ. I believed in Jesus, but I wasn't born again. There was no changes in my life. I was the same evil person still. And I asked the pastor to baptize me, and give me support letters so I can take this letter and the baptism certificate to immigration and apply for this visa and stay in Australia. But he didn't help me, didn't baptize me. And I realized that I wasted my time in that church. And thank God for another friend. He said, I know a Baptist pastor. He can help you if you go to that church. I said, what is Baptist? What do you mean? Are they not all same Christians? He said, well, there are many Christianity, many different groups. And he said, Baptist is a group, different Christians, they worship differently. Their music is like 1,000 years old, and their dress code is 500 years old. And they're weird people, but they're loving people, very good. This pastor, Baptist pastor, he's a good man. He's going to help you. I said, okay, I don't care how they worship and how they dress. If they help me, that's what I want. So I spoke to Pastor Keith Piper on the phone, and he made an appointment with me. So I went to his place, and he spent hours with me, explaining the gospel to me, and for all have sinned. He told me about sin, that I have sinned against God. He told me about the punishment for sin, which is death and hell. So I realized that my grandma was right. She told me that there is hell, there is punishment. And he told me about the answer for our punishment, which is Jesus Christ. He came, he died on the cross, paid the penalty of our sins. And I said, okay, does that mean everybody's going to heaven because he died for us? He said, no. I said, okay, what do you do to be saved? Like in Islam, we have to pray 5 times a day and we have to keep Sharia law and fast in Ramadan. What do you do to be saved? Do I have to get baptized to be saved, or do I have to become a member of a church to be saved? And he said, well, let's read the Bible and see what you have to do to be saved from hell. And he said, read John 1:12. He said, there are many promises in the Bible. God tells us how we can be sure of going to heaven. He said, read John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He said, what do you have to do in that verse? I said, I think I need to receive him. He said, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, what's going to happen? What's the promise? To them gave he power to become the sons of God. So he said, God will make you to be one of his sons. You'll be a child of God. That's called being born again. You'll be a child of God, and God will be your heavenly Father. He's not going to send you to hell. I said, wow. And he said, read Romans 10:13. So I read Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he said, what do you have to do in that verse? And I said, I think I need to call upon the name of the Lord. And he said, what's going to happen then? Shall be saved. You'll be saved from hell. I said, really? Like that simple? Like you telling me that if I just call upon the name of the Lord to save me from hell, he'll save me without getting baptized, without keeping the law, and without doing anything? He said, yes, that's the Bible. God has told us that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved without doing anything. I said, this is simple. I said, why is it so simple? He said, because God made it so simple that even a child can understand it. Even illiterate people who don't have education, they can understand it and get saved. I said, wow, this is so good. I said, I want to do that. I want to pray and ask Jesus to save me. I don't want to put it off. I always lived with fear of going to hell. Can I pray and ask Jesus to save me? I don't know what's going to happen to me next minute. I might die and go to hell without Jesus. Can I pray? He said, yeah, go ahead. So I closed my eyes, I confessed my sin. I said, Lord, save me. I receive you as my Savior. I pray in Jesus' name. So when I asked Jesus to save me and be my Savior, when I opened my eyes, I knew that something big happened to me. I was born again on that day, August 29th, 2009. I was a child of God and rejoicing and shouting for joy. And went home, I prayed. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I went to church to abuse you and abuse your church. I don't care about visa anymore. I'm happy to go back to my country to get this simple message to my own people if you want me to go back. I said, Lord, I don't want to be an average Christian just to go to church every Sunday. I want to serve you because you loved me so much. You died on the cross for my sins. I want to love you. I want to serve you. Would you use me? I said, I don't know the Bible. I never raised in a Christian family. I don't know how to serve, but I can mop the floor and wash, clean the toilet. Would you use me? So I surrendered my life to Jesus. And then the Lord started to use me. He started to use me, so he called me to Bible college. And I went to Sydney Bible Baptist College. And the Lord blessed it. The college time was just really good time. I was still, before going to college in 2011, I went to college, and before that I was still like worldly, still living the flesh, though I was saved. But when I went to college, it changed my life dramatically. It was just being around godly Christians who came to prepare, to be trained, to serve the Lord. We prayed every day. We would go like to a garden there was a garden next to college, so we would go there every day after the classes, and then we would pray together, a group of men. We were praying every day. That helped me to learn from, to look at this Christian, to learn not only the Bible, but also practical Christian living, way of life. I learned from these Christians. Most of them were pastors' sons and daughters, so it impacted my life. So don't take it for granted. You're starting here. Just get every bit of it and learn the Bible and pay attention to these teachers who teach you, and they train you. You'll need what you learn right now in the future. You'll need it. I wish I could go back and study again at the same Bible college. And so anyway, so I went to college, and while I was there, the Lord led me to these Persians living in Sydney, Australia, and I led many of them to the Lord. Many of them got saved, and at the same time in 2011, Dr. Ron Comfort came and he preached in our conference, and I surrendered my life for full-time ministry now. And after that, I planted a church in Sydney, Australia. In 2012, I planted a Farsi-speaking church in Sydney, and people came, and the number grew, and the Lord blessed my ministry, and many of these Muslims got saved. And after preaching for 6 years, the Lord brought me to America. So I had a phone call from Christian Radio International, Dr. George Zaris. He said, I've heard about you, and I want you to come to the United States and preach the gospel, and I'm going to deliver your messages into Iran. And I said, "Real through satellite TV. I said, are you sure you got a right number? He said, yes, I'm sure. So I came to America in 2017 in July and August, and I preached and recorded messages there. And I went back to Sydney and came back again last January. And I recorded more messages. And since last May, we started airing the programs into Iran. And the people have been watching my program on satellite TV and also through a radio that we get the gospel out into Iran, which is the only way. There's no other way to reach Muslims inside the country of Iran. You can't go there to plant churches or preach the gospel. You can't go there as a missionary. The door is closed. The only way to reach them is through media. So when I came back the second time in January, this satellite station, the founder of this station in Dallas, Texas, he's a Persian pastor. He said, why don't you come here? I wanna see you in person and talk to you. So I went there, and he put me on a live program for an hour. So I was able to speak in that program. And after program ended, the phone calls were lit up and people were calling from Iran. They were just so grateful and thankful for this Christian channel. And one lady was crying with joy. She said, thank you for teaching us the Bible. I got saved through this Christian channel. Thank you for what you're doing. Keep it up, please. They are so grateful because there is no churches there, no pastors. The only way for them to hear the gospel is through media, satellite TV and radio. And God is blessing this ministry, this media in Iran, that if you search online, what is the fastest church-growing country in the world? It's not America or Europe. It's Iran. Iran is fastest church-growing country. When I say church, not public church, but underground church. Many Christians, people are coming to Christ. They leave Islam behind. They come to Christ, and they get saved. The Christian rate is 20% per year. That means every 4 years, the number of Christians is doubling. The number is doubling every 4 years. That's the rate in Iran, with no pastors, no missionaries. So the Lord has opened the door that no man can shut. So the devil closed the door for missionaries to come in. It's closed. But God has opened this door, satellite TV. How do you want to stop the signals, the receptions that come through the air, through the sky? There's no way to stop it. You have to put a big curtain or something on the sky to stop. It's impossible. Devil can't stop it. No man can stop it. So when when God opens the door, no man can shut. This is our God. So a lot of people are getting saved, and I have had feedbacks from people, those who have been watching my programs, and they come to Christ. And one of them was my neighbor friend that we grew up together. He texted me. He said, "Michael, Islam has destroyed our country. I'm sick of Islam. I want to be a Christian, but I don't know how to be a Christian." And I said, "I'll tell you how to be a Christian." And at the same time, another person texted me, and he said, "I'm a new believer. I've been watching your programs on TV, and I want to be a pastor. Can I become a pastor as a new believer?" I said, "Not a novice. It's too early for you to be a pastor. But you have a desire that you want to be a pastor. Maybe the Lord has put that desire in your heart. I'm happy to train you if you want me." And I said, "I've got a question. If you would die tonight or sometime, do you know 100% for sure that if you would go to heaven?" He said, "No, I'm not sure." And I realized that he's not even saved, but he wants to be a pastor. He's been reading the Bible, watching my programs and everything. He wants to be a pastor without being saved. So the next day I called him with Siamek, my neighbor friend that we grew up together, both of them. I called them on Skype, witnessed to both of them for 3 hours. And after witnessing to them, both of them prayed and received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They got saved. And after 2 days, Siamek, who was my neighbor friend, he called me back. He said, "Thank you for sharing the gospel with me." He said, God has already changed my life. He said, "I was smoking 2 packs of cigarette every day, but now I'm free. I don't even feel to go back smoking." And he said, "I'm delivered." I said, "Praise the Lord. This is the power of the gospel. Not only it saves you from hell and it gives you eternal life, but also it transforms your life from evil practices." And thank God. And in June, I led a couple to the Lord. And this couple got saved in Iran. And they told me, they said, "We want to get baptized, but there is no church here. Do you know any church in Turkey, in another country, so we can go and get baptized there?" And I thought that they were teasing and they were joking, but they were serious. And I said, "I know a church there." So they traveled from Iran to Turkey. They got baptized in a Persian church in Turkey, and they went back to Iran. This is how they do it. They're willing to please Jesus Christ, because that's the commandment, that baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So, and then his wife, whose name is Behnaz, she has a hairdressing salon, and she's been witnessing to her customers. When they went to Turkey, they smuggled some Bibles with them into Iran. So she's been witnessing to her customers at the shop, and she's been giving them the Bibles, and also I've been sending them Bible lessons every day. So they have been printing these lessons and giving them to customers. And some of her customers reported her to police. So these two ladies came, who were like security police, and they came and they investigated the shop, and they found 5 copies of the Bible and also some of those lessons that I sent to her. And they said that they had her voice recorded while witnessing to customers. So they took her to jail, to police station, and her father came, and they wanted to put her in a jail till she goes to court. And her father had a friend who had a higher position in the government. He came and he was able to release Behnaz from jail. But she had to go to court about a week ago. And I told her, she said, "I'm going to go to court. I'm going to tell the court that I'm a Christian. I'm not going to deny Jesus." I said, "Don't do that. If you go to court, I know what they're going to do to you. They're going to do everything to you. They abuse sexually. They torture you to death, especially if you're a young girl." So I said, don't do that. Don't go. Just flee. Escape from Iran. Go to Turkey. And from there, I'll help you to come to America to study at Bible college here with your husband. Just flee and go there." So, and then she didn't go to court. And the next day, they had a phone call. They said, "You need to come to court within 10 days. 10 days is finishing in, I think it's 2-3 days. They have to go to court. She has to go to court. And if she misses for second time, she'll be banned of escaping, by traveling overseas. So I've been communicating with her, and she's been packing up, and she's getting ready to flee to go to Turkey. And just pray for her that the Lord would help her to escape from country, from these evil Muslims, to be able to come to America to study at Bible college. So I'm going to show a video presentation. This is my ministry in Sydney, all the way from Iran and Sydney. This is like 8 minutes video that you're going to see. And I've got a table there, display table. If you can get one of my prayer cards to pray for my ministry, pray for four things. Pray for my family's salvation. I was able to lead three of them to the Lord, but my parents are not saved yet, other siblings. Pray for their salvation. Number two, pray for my media ministry to have impact in many Persians, many Muslims inside the country, that they might come to know Jesus as their Savior. And also pray for planting of many Baptist churches, that I could plant many churches. I planted one in Sydney, but I'm praying to plant many churches in the future. And also, number four, I'm doing my deputation with Baptist World Mission. Pray that the Lord would provide my financial needs, that many churches might take me on for support so I can continue preaching the gospel. And also, I've got a prayer card, a sign-up sheet. If you want to sign up to receive monthly update by email, just type your email needs so I can read it and enter into my email list so I can send you updates, prayer letters. And also, I've got two books by my pastor who led me to the Lord, by Keith Piper. This is called Questions, which is about Islam, how to reach Muslims. This will help you to learn about Islam, how to reach Muslims. So get one of these. It's free, without charge. And also another one is called Establishing the Faith, which is a discipleship book. It's got 45 lessons that you can use to disciple your converts, to be able to disciple them. So we're going to see this video, and after that, doctor is going to come.